Welcome to the Smart Women in Business podcast with me, your host, Jane Mackay. We've got big ideas for small business. Hello and welcome to the Smart Women in Business vlog and podcast. Today I'm talking to Mel Daniels, who I've known online for about a million years. Mel provides tailored solutions to help you build and love your business again. Mel's love, Meld Business Services, delivers off-site content creation services, including email marketing, blog writing, and social media management. Mel had a successful corporate career in banking before taking a career break to devote her time to raising her two children. Throughout her life, she has thrived on being able to help people through team management and volunteer roles. This strong sense of empowerment of empowering others to succeed has always been a large part of her DNA, but it wasn't until recently this transformed into a business. While helping a friend in the legal industry get through a busy period, Mel was able to identify the need for small businesses to have access to high quality, knowledgeable, and flexible work partner, someone who cares about their business as much as they do. Combined with her ability to provide an organized and supportive service, Meld Business Services was born. Welcome, Mel.
Thank you. What an intro.
You're like, you write these things down and go, yeah, that'll be fine. And then when you read them out, you go, ooh, do I want to say that at a conference? That's how I read my intros. But yeah, welcome. This is exciting to have you. So tell me about your business journey.
Okay, so it started about 3 years ago when I actually started Meld Business Services, but we'll just backtrack a little bit before that. So straight out of uni, I graduated and went into a graduate program role with a bank, and I was there for 11 years. So a long time, with the one corporation. But during that time, I had a whole heap of different roles, ranging from things like credit analysis through to business development, through to IT. So a whole range of different things. So lots of skills were kind of picked up on the way. And then I had a break to have my son. As we all do, exactly. And I had every intention of going back to work, but the universe had other ideas, Jane. So my husband was actually given a contract role over in London. So off we went with a six-month-old off to London. And unfortunately, I wasn't allowed to take extended leave at that time. So I actually had to resign. Oh. So I actually had to kind of go, I'm not coming back. And that was kind of a bit of a tricky time for me because I always envisaged that I would go back to work. But at the same time, I had all these wonderful role models in my life of mums who had stayed at home and looked after their kids. So kind of, I guess it was a bit of a blessing in disguise. So once we got to London, had my daughter there. So that was an experience in itself. And just really relished being a stay-at-home mum. And just loved every single moment of it, never had any regrets. Just really, really embodied being a mum. So then we came back home, back to Sydney. And I guess it was, participating in the kids' schools and things like that and volunteering and doing reading groups and, PNC and all that sort of stuff. So all of that was really made my soul very, very happy. It was just absolutely fantastic. But then my kids got a little bit older and there kind of comes a time when you've got to think about doing some stuff for yourself. So I knew that I didn't want to go back into the corporate space at that time. I just didn't want to join the rat race again. So then that just left me with, well, what business can I start for myself? And at the same time, a friend of mine who's a lawyer, and you said this in your intro, a friend of mine who's a lawyer actually asked if I could help her out. She was going through a particularly busy period with a few court cases. So I jumped on board and helped her out. And then I just went, light bulb moment. There are so many women in particular out there who are solopreneurs, who run their businesses themselves, who do go through these peaks and these troughs. And when they go through those peaks, it's like burnout city, potentially burnout city. So I really wanted to be able to help those people, and it kind of fitted in with my why, which you spoke about as well, and we'll probably speak about later, of empowering others. So it kind of all came together in a nice little package about 3 years ago.
Yeah, just thrown upon you. Yes. And that's often how we find ourselves in business, especially as mums, because how else are we going to manage school holidays? 12 weeks a year, there's no real job.
Yeah.
People allow that. And, yeah. And being present for your kids and in school holidays is a real blessing. Some holidays I'm like, be quiet, leave me alone, here's the iPad. But sometimes I go, okay, that's it, we're going to the beach, it's too hot or whatever. Yeah. And it's a real privilege to be able to have a business.
It certainly is. And it's the exact reason why so many of us do go into business, mm-hmm. isn't it, Jane? So we're looking for that flexibility, that ability to be able to do what we want when we want, mm-hmm. and not have to feel that guilt mm-hmm. about, you know, things like taking days off for sick days. So my daughter is actually home today, unwell.
Yep.
And yet, you know, life continues, you know.
Yeah, business continues. You're not having to call the boss. My kids have a chronic gut condition, and my daughter's had, you know, there was a stage last year where she was having a day off every week, and there's no, you know, there's no real way I could do that and hold down a job, so except with an amazing employer, which are they are getting more flexible, but every school holidays I panic anyway. So how do you manage your life every day as an entrepreneur? You mentioned you had kids. How old are your children now?
So they're 13 and almost 11.
Wow. Yeah. Big kids. Mine are little.
Yes, they're big kids. So, yeah, I think that I just thrive on being organized. So I'm a very organized and process-driven person, and that's why I love what I do and I'm so good at what I do. So I'm very driven by lists, to-do lists. And then just like various programs, you know, obviously our calendar is always got things on, what's happening, who's going where, who's doing what. Even as teenagers and preteens, they're still busy, busy, busy people. Mm. So very much process driven scenario. Mm.
So what are your favorite apps?
Oh my goodness, Asana. Cannot live without it, Jane. Without it.
I'm Airtable all the way. People go on about Asana. I'm like, Airtable. I live in Airtable.
Yeah. So I think Asana works really well for me.
Depends on your brain.
Depends
on your brain.
It does. It does. It does. And it also depends on your work as well. So what you actually do for work. So it works really great for me because we're very task oriented. And I also have a few women that work for me as well. So it allows us to be able to communicate really easily between each other in terms of where we're at, what we're doing, and if we have any questions about a particular task. So I think Asana is great in that way in terms of the communication between your team members, but also then we have like recurring tasks. So things that happen every week or every fortnight or every month. So just to be able to pop it in there into Asana and make sure that we don't miss it is fabulous. So I love Asana.
It's amazing how when you do work for yourself, people seem to think I want a real job and tag me in job posts all the time. But anyway, it's amazing when you do work for yourself, how quickly the time goes. When I worked in an office, I was like, I'm so bored. Yes. And now I'm like, holy moly, 2 weeks has gone by again and I've got my fortnight. I live in my calendar. I've got my coaching call coming up, and how did that happen again? And having those systems in place
definitely
allows you to have a robust business that can get through the tough times or the busy times. And then when you are looking at outsourcing to someone like you, you can say, these are the tasks I do on a regular basis. So what does a great day in the office look like for you?
Oh, great question. So I think that it actually starts outside the office, Jane. So I love to get to the gym. So twice a week, I'm up at 5:20 and off to the gym. So yeah, that's a great start to the day because not only do I feel like I'm exercising my body, I'm also exercising my brain, just getting, you know, that reset happening for the day ahead. I think then, like, I'm not a big coffee drinker, but sometimes it's my, I know that's hard to believe, but yeah, sometimes
I might, my friends don't drink it.
So Sometimes I might treat myself to one, like that's kind of a nice thing for me to do. Come back, tick off some things off my to-do list, probably check in with my team members if need be, if they're having any problems or any questions about any tasks. And then probably like a client call or a discussion with a client as to upcoming projects or something like that. And then hopefully a little bit of time for myself to work on something in my business. That's always at the bottom of the to-do list, unfortunately, but
that's a great day. I try and do my marketing on Fridays because I'm pretty chill by Friday afternoon and, you know, not very productive. And then like in corporate world, I would have been like chatting or getting a cup of tea. Now I'm like, right, schedule some social when I'm feeling pretty creative.
Let's do it.
So in your business, you would see symptoms and signs in the businesses that you either work with or you see probably in the Facebook groups that we're in together.
Yeah.
What are those signs that you really need to start thinking about outsourcing?
Yeah. So there's actually a few of them. So the first one is probably you're finding that there's not enough time in your life. So this could manifest in things like late nights, you know, working the past midnight kind of thing. Could also manifest in errors. So as a result of the fact that you don't feel like you're having enough time, so you've got to do things quickly. So therefore there's kind of errors creeping into what you're doing. And probably if you don't have enough time, you're also missing out on things with your family and friends. So, you know, perhaps, and this is, you know, we'll go back to the reason why we started business in the first place, and that's the flexibility. But, you know, you're probably finding that you are missing out on those school assemblies that you were hoping to get to, or, you know, you're not being present for your children and family enough. So that's probably one sign that you don't have enough time, and then it's probably time to outsource. Another thing is you're probably spending too much time on the little things in your business. So, you know, things like that don't generate revenue for you directly, you know. So if you're not making money doing a particular task, then perhaps that's actually something that you should hand off to someone else. So if you're spending too much time doing those sort of things, like it's kind of normal to be spending time on those little things. But if you find that it's overtaking what you're doing on a daily basis, then that's probably a sign that you need to outsource as well.
You know, if you're spending a day a week bookkeeping and managing your social and, you know, planning your content and all of these things which you could be spending on client work, you know, you're losing money effectively in your business. So when someone comes to you, what are the first things you go, right, we can just outsource this today? What are the first things you recommend outsourcing for a business?
Yeah, I'm going to say how long is a piece of string, Jane? Because the reason is we are all individuals. Our businesses are unique as well. So there's not like a list of top 10 things to outsource. And, you know, I get asked this question so many times, what can you do? And the answer is I can do anything really, but it's just what is right for you and what is right for your business. So the kind of things that you need to look for in terms of what to actually outsource, and I go through this a lot with my clients and potential clients as well, is that look at first those things that don't bring you joy. Yeah. What are those things that you always find are at the bottom of your to-do list, you always procrastinate about, you're always going, oh, I can't believe I have to do this again? All of those things are things that you can outsource. Another thing is things that are outside of your zone of genius. So, you know, a great example of this is social media and graphics for social media. If doing graphics is not your thing, then don't do it. Get someone else to do it.
And graphics, you know, for people who aren't graphic people are incredibly time consuming.
Absolutely.
Incredibly time consuming. So, yes.
Absolutely. Also, you can outsource things that, which we spoke about just previously, is things that don't generate income for you directly. So there might be things that you can do now that will generate income in the future. So, you know, things like building your email list and posting on social media. But in that moment, are you actually generating income? And the answer is no. So potentially they are things that you can outsource as well. And the last thing that I ask people is, what is on your wish list that you've always wanted to do, but you've never had time to do? So once again, that might be things like creating a freebie. You know, you want to build your email list and you want to create this freebie and you've got this great idea, but you just don't have the time to do it. So anything like that, anything that can get you ahead in terms of your strategic direction, are also good things to outsource as well. So I don't have a list of things that
you know, I'll take all my stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like I don't say, oh, first you have to do your bookkeeping and then you have to do your social media.
I do my house cleaning first, by the way.
Well, that's, yes, very big one, very big
Huge.
One.
Huge.
Yeah, so just have a look at the things that don't bring you joy outside your zone of genius, that don't directly earn you income, and they're the tasks that you should look at first.
Yeah, I'd do my social because it is so time consuming. Deliver it.
Yeah, but you love it?
I do enjoy it and I find it fun.
There you go.
So, but it's time consuming. And could that time be better spent? See, even if you do enjoy something, could that time be better spent working with clients?
Absolutely.
So, and if you have systems around what you do and go, this is what I post, blah, 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 you can just say to someone like you, this is what I post, have a look at my Instagram and you know, you do your research. You look at, you know, and it's about creating that brand voice and all of that. And I've seen what you do, and it's, you can outsource something like social media, which is often infused with a lot of personality. And people can get that. People can replicate that. So
absolutely.
You don't
absolutely.
Need to be so attached to, yes, to your own social media and your brand voice. Anyway, so what are the things to look out for? You've probably had people like I do who come to you and say, oh my gosh, I had the worst experience with someone previously because they did blah, blah, blah. And I know a lot of people get burned with marketing and probably a lot of people get burned with VAs. So what are the things that people should be looking out for when they're looking to outsource to a...
Yeah, and that's a very good point. Yeah, it's a very good point that you make, that there are so many people that do get burnt by virtual assistants or graphic designers or whoever it is, web developers, you know, you name it, whoever you outsource, you can be burnt. But I think that if you keep in mind two main things, then you should be right. So the first thing is you need to make sure that the person that you're partnering with actually has the skills to complete the job. Okay. It seems a bit of a no-brainer, but you know, doing bookkeeping is very different to creating graphics. So I think that you really need to focus in and hone in on the job description, like what do you actually need to have completed, and then make sure that person has the skills to actually complete it. And you know, it might actually mean, Jane, that you end up partnering with more than one person, you know, and so be it. You just really need to make sure that the person has the skills and the experience and the abilities to complete what it is that you're doing. So I think that that's probably why a lot of people get burnt, because they have these expectations that the person that they're partnering with can complete the work, and it works out that they can't. So then they get really disheartened about it. The second thing, and I think this is the main thing, because you can teach people different skills and you can teach someone how to do a task, but you need to make sure that they are the right fit with you in terms of personality. And in terms, is particularly in terms of values, you know, you can't mold someone into being someone you want them to be. You can teach them how to do something, but if you don't feel that connection with them, and they don't share the same values as what you and your business do, then it's just a recipe for disaster, and that's how you're going to get burnt as well. So I think that by making sure that you talk to them. You know, in this digital world, it's so easy just to shoot off the email or the message or whatever it is. And, you know, sometimes I've had a few clients that I've never, ever spoken to. It's all been in writing, which is kind of weird. But I think that to make sure that you really have that connection. You need to at least hear them, if not see them, like do something, you know, like do Zoom or something similar. You just really need to make sure that you do have that connection.
Because it's the trust. And it's interesting the language that you use. You say that you're partnering with someone in your business. And it is that, how in your intro you said someone who's, you know, as loves your business as much as you do and is invested in that and getting the outcomes for your business. And I think that's something that it's not just, can you do this, then do that. It's, can you do this and will you be along with me for the ride?
Yeah. And I think that that's a really, that's a great point too. And that's actually one of my values in terms of partnering and empowering. To do that, I need to make sure that I do have that connection with someone and they have that connection with me, because, you know, that's just as important. If we're going to make this work and going to make their business a huge success, then we need to make sure that we're on the same page. And if we're not on the same page, then it's never going to work.
No. And it's the same with me. If someone comes to me with a project that goes against my own values, you've got to turn it down. You can't work with someone if it's in conflict with your beliefs. It just does not work, because you won't put that love into it that you would any other project. Yeah. That's really interesting, because you and I, while we work in different fields, it is that intangible sort of creations that we're making. So it's, and that trust is just so important. It's part of the relationship. And it's not just the triumphs, it's getting through, you know, the occasional mistake or the misunderstanding or the miscommunication. And that's where the relationship comes in.
Yep.
Because when you have a relationship with someone, you can work those things out.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that that's a really great point as well, to make sure that you do have a really great relationship with the person as well. So as someone who is partnering with, like, a virtual assistant or whoever you're outsourcing to, you really do need to step into that manager's role. And a lot of people are really reluctant to do that. But
that's why we work for ourselves.
Yeah. It's true. But, you know, you get to that point where you can't DIY anymore and, you know, you're just heading for burnout and you need to actually get some help from people. But just making sure that you do become that manager and do step into that confidence and do, you know, make sure that you also explain your expectations, check in, all of those sorts of things. You know, it becomes a different kind of way of working. And many of us have had, you know, some kind of experience in our past lives, corporate lives, in terms of managing people or dealing with managers. So you just need to embrace that to be able to make sure that the relationship works as well.
And it is having the confidence to do that. And managing expectations is basically what all of us do as freelancers or entrepreneurs, or however you want to phrase it. Managing expectations is number one for client relationships. If they expect one thing and you're delivering, if they expect X and you're delivering Y, that can dissolve so much or erode the relationship so much. And that's really good point to make, is that if you're working with someone, and this is, applies in my business as well, with people working with me, you need to say, this is what I expect. This is the outcome that I want, and this is when I expect it. You don't have to be mean about it. Like some of the bosses I've had.
Absolutely. And I think that once you set out those expectations, that you and the person you're partnering with are on exactly the same page. And therefore, I think you're less likely to be disappointed when things don't go wrong. Because if you're setting out the expectations up front and they're going, yep, great, got it, let's go, I can do that, and then it doesn't work, then yes, you have reason to be disappointed.
I expected this, and
you know, do it up front. And, you know, if there is a bit of a gap in terms of the skills or abilities of the person you're partnering with, then that's maybe an opportunity to, you know, train them or have a discussion about something and see if you can make it work. But if you can't, then you've got to end the relationship as soon as possible.
And you can't expect a VA to be another you, which I think a lot of people go into that relationship going, that's all right, they're just going to do everything that I do and it'll be fine.
Yeah, true. I like to think that I can be another
exactly the same way as I do it.
Yeah, no. So that's not going to happen. And no. I think that as a manager as well, you need to let that go. Mm. You need to absolutely let that go. You need to be able to empower them and give them these skills and abilities to be able to do something. But you can't, yeah, you can't expect them to do it the same way, exactly the same way as what you do it.
Mm. And I think that's a big part of, as entrepreneurs, when we come to outsource or delegate,
yep,
is the other word I like to use that I don't do enough. As long as the outcome is the same, don't expect the method to be the same.
Yeah, so absolutely.
That's one of the rules in our house. You can have me do something, but you can't expect me to do it your way. Anyway, so harmonious household. What is your, we've touched on this, but your why, what keeps you motivated to do? Mm. I mean, you've been doing it almost 4 years.
I have, actually. Yes, you are correct. So I think it all comes back to the helping others and empowering others as well. So when I came to that place in my life where I knew that I didn't want to go back to the corporate space and I was racking my brains, like, what can I do? What skills do I have? What can I bring to the table? I went through a period of, I love to bake and decorate cakes, Jane. So I went through a period of, yes, that's what I'm going to do for a business. And then quickly realized there's no money in it.
No, I had a cookie business and a muesli business with my sister, which was fabulous. But there's no money in food, by the way, people.
Yes. I couldn't see how to make it work. So I was actually trying to look at the skills that I had, like the tangible things that I had that I could do, that I could produce, that I could give to the world. And then it wasn't until I just kind of had this light bulb moment. It's actually my values, what I really believe in that I can bring to the table in terms of a business. So it really lights me up to be able to work with women who run their own businesses and they're like overwhelmed, they're on the brink of burnout, they are unfocused, and they're kind of starting to lose confidence in their ability to actually run a small business because of this overwhelm. You know, they just feel like they can't do it. So to be able to see these women and then take them from that state of disarray, basically, and help them get things back under control, put processes in place for them, just provide that extra support for all of the strategic things that they want to do in their business as well. To see them grow into these amazingly, brilliant, successful, confident women is absolutely brilliant. So that's kind of how I bring the empowerment to what I do for my clients. But then on the flip side, I've also been able to manage to weave it into my business in terms of my team as well. Mm. So I currently have 3 amazing mums that work for me. All of them have their own fledgling business. So they're in the process of building their own businesses. But I think that as women, when we come out of the workforce, we just lose our confidence, you know? We just don't have the ability to believe in what we can achieve anymore. And I think that seeing these women come on board with me and their confidence grow and their skills just go nuts because, you know, they are very bright, amazing women to begin with, but just to see them, the momentum that they get with this is just really, really fantastic. So my hope is that one day they do leave me and they go on and, you know, have fabulous businesses themselves. Like I will cry the day that they leave. I really will, because they are just fabulous. But at the same time, it just gives me joy to know that they are on this pathway to great thinkers themselves.
Yeah. And that's so true what you say about losing confidence when you come out of the workforce, because we work in a very structured way in corporate, but we forget that we're also working 40 hours a week. And when you are in a business and approaching burnout, which I did late last year, and I worked every weekend in a row from June to October.
Yeah, wow.
And like every day in a row. And when you're in that, you feel so disorganized.
Mm.
And you just it does, it erodes your confidence going, why can't I do this? I am so capable, or I was so capable. And you feel that you were in your corporate job because you had 40 hours a week and that's all you did. And then, and for you to have that ability to then take people and go, no, it's actually not you. It's your business structure. Let me help you with that. It's quite a simple fix.
It's
a really fantastic thing to be able to do with people, instead of them giving up on their businesses, which a lot of people do. So that's really fantastic. And if we could mobilize all these incredible women who have been in the workforce and now aren't because we had kids, because that's our biology. And that's one of the core things of why I do what I do, is if we could take all these incredible women across Australia and go, here's an amazing, here's an idea, here's your idea, let's create a business out of it, our GDP would go through the roof.
Exactly, it would, because there are so many amazing women. Like the number of times I had conversations with friends at school pickup, just as an example, right?
Yes, I've had lots of car conversations.
Just that you just listen to them and go, wow, yeah, you really don't have any confidence anymore. So much so that they feel nervous about even applying for any kind of role, like even if it's just a casual role or a part-time role. It just, because you're not in the moment doing all the time like you were back in your corporate days, we just kind of forget how awesome we really are. You know, we forget how good we are at what we did. There's just absolutely no confidence there. So it's really great to be able to see that turnaround in people. I love it.
I love doing what I do, because they go, I'm so proud of my business now. It's like, well, nothing's really changed. We've just tweaked it a bit, made it look pretty, but give it some strategy and some processes. But it's incredible that, you know, and this gap in our resume as well.
Yeah.
So I had to do a job application the other day, a role application, and I haven't worked in the conventional workforce for 10 years. So it's like, now, but then I had to write a description of what I do in my role instead of having a position description to refer. Oh, that's what I did in that job. You know, that's the position description I had for that role. I go, okay, right. Where do we start? And also another side of that is looking at what you can do and creating a position description for yourself and going, all right, these are the things I want to do. And then these are the things I can outsource. But anyway, very interesting. Yeah, but that's exactly what my raison d'etre is to get all these women across Australia and go, come on, let's do it.
So let's do it, Jane.
Let's do it, Mel. We're doing it. That's why I started this podcast, so we can get to every woman, not just the women in Sydney, but the women like me who are 350 Ks east of Melbourne, sweltering. What are your tips, or number one tip, for all the smart women in business across Australia and the world?
Okay. So take away, Mel. Am I allowed to have two?
Of course you're allowed. You can have 10 if you want. I don't really mind. Okay. We're very fast and loose here. We're not very methodical like you.
Okay, my first tip is to make sure you take those small steps, because those small steps are going to create momentum. So when I say take small steps, it may be take that first step to start your business, take that first step to get on a podcast, take that first step to, you know, do a Facebook Live, whatever it is, take that first step, and then it's going to create a little bit of momentum for you. And the second tip I'm going to give you is around outsourcing, and it's don't wait to prepare yourself for outsourcing. Do it now. Do it whilst you have the time and the space, because when you're so busy and so overwhelmed and you've got so much to do, you're going to make some bad decisions. And that's when, you know, you pick the wrong person because you just don't have enough time and you have to pick the first person that comes along. You are so busy that you don't have time to set out the steps of all the tasks that you want to be completed down the track. So whilst you might not feel right now in this moment that you are ready to outsource, prepare yourself now.
Start documenting people. Your processes in Asana. You can use Dad Mel. It'll be fine. Yeah. So where can our audience learn more about you and what you do, Mel?
Oh, I love to hang out on Facebook and Instagram. So you can find me. My handle is @meldbusiness. Yep. Or you can pop by my website, which is meldbusinessservices.com.au.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, Mel. That was a great conversation. And I will catch up with you in cyberspace, as we used to say in the noughties, soon.
Fabulous. Thanks for having me, Jane.
Thanks. You have been listening to the Smart Women in Business podcast. If you'd like to find out more about me, your host, Jane Mackay, visit janemackaycommunications.com.au.